Welcome to another edition of Minding Your Business, helping you get ahead. Presented weekly here on WJCU in cooperation with the Shaker Heights Chamber of Commerce.
We have with us on the line Christine Haught, who is an interior designer and owner of Christine Haught Limited in Shaker Heights. Welcome to Minding Your Business. Thanks for being on the show, Christine.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for asking me to talk with you today.
Let's talk about interior design of home-based business offices and regular office space. How can you help us design our office space so that we get rid of the mess and get rid of the clutter? Should we use shelves? Should we use baskets? Should we just use glass desks so that you can see through them so that there's no room for mess, drawers? How should we do it?
Okay. All right. Well, Debbie, I think the first step before we even get into the organization is to start thinking about your home office or your professional office as a space of healing. You want to come into that space every day and not feel overwhelmed or overloaded, but yet feel a sense of, hey, I'm in here to do what I'm meant to do. And so one suggestion I'd like to make for our listeners is I read two books last year that kind of gave me some insight into this. And one was called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. And she suggested that you look at each item in your home or, in this case, in your office and ask yourself, does it spark joy? And if it doesn't, it's maybe time to let it go so that we can really get to what we are trying to do in our office space. And briefly, the other book was called GTD, Getting Things Done, by David Allen. And David Allen suggests that we use the idea of moving planned objects out of our mind and recording them, and then later breaking them into seven categories of actionable work items. And it sounds kind of complicated, Debbie, but really it's quite simple. In this way, instead of having piles all over your desk and not knowing what to do with them, you know exactly what category you're going to place them into once you've decided that they, number one, spark joy and are useful, and number two, you have a place to put them, and then you can attack it a little bit easier, so to speak.
What are the seven categories? I'm dying to hear.
All right, great. The seven categories, we have, first of all, the random and unorganized thoughts, and those are the things you're just going to get them out of your mind and write it down. I need to make an appointment with the vet. I need to call my client. I need to set up an appointment with Debbie about going on the radio next week, or, you know, those types of things. And then after you get them in the random and unorganized category, then the next thing you're going to do is maybe move them into these other categories, which are the someday maybe list, the text messages to send, and mine may be more than seven because I've broken them down a little further, to-do list, next actions list. Then you can break that down further, the general to-do, wherever you can do it, wherever you can do it at home, next calls to make, waiting for a list. Maybe you're waiting for somebody to call you back. I'm waiting for Debbie to call me back about my radio interview. I'm waiting for the client to call me back. And that way you sort of always have your finger on the pulse of what's happening. Your projects list. I need to work on my master bathroom. I need to work on my client's master bathroom. I need to make an appointment, a doctor appointment. And then next, your project support material. What things you need to support you within those projects. And second to last, your reference material. What types of things might you need to reference as you're doing that? You know, because you may come across the name of a contractor or a name of an interior designer or name of a Shaker Chamber of Commerce head, but you didn't call them back yet, so you put them in your reference area. I believe the last one was just a recap of all the categories so you can kind of follow through and make sure you're always constantly checking what you have going on there. But all of this is available in David Allen's book, and he talks about those seven categories in detail, and you're constantly checking your phone. And I love the random an unorganized one, because if I don't know where to put it, I put it there and then I can later get back to it, and that way I can get it into the other areas so that I constantly stay organized.
I feel so much more efficient already. Just hearing you go through those seven categories, I feel better already. So when you go into design an office, what's trending? Are people looking for more open space, or are they looking for more storage space? What's going on when you go in to design an office? Let's say a brand new office. You have a blank canvas. and someone says, we need 3 offices designed, we need them to be efficient, what comes to mind as far as most trends nowadays?
Okay, sure. That's a great question. And actually, what comes to mind briefly is something I saw in a sitcom the other night where a corporate takeover happened and they decided that it was a dentist's office and they no longer needed a reception desk or anywhere for anyone to sit. They were just going to be completely open and it was a whole new concept. And it was sort of comical, but while we don't want to go that far to throw our office furniture out and start completely over, I do think what's sort of trending right now is the fact that we all have way too much stuff. And so that's why I kind of go back to what Marie Kondo says in The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. What do we really need to keep? Do we need physical papers for every single thing that a client ever ordered? Not necessarily. We have that in some of our hardware and computers, and if not, we can go to our vendors if need be. So I think what's trending is really cleaning up our offices and making them as efficient as possible. And even if you're not a hardcore minimalist and you prefer a traditional look for your office, it's nice to get cleaned up and freshened up. And I think the new year, like you said, the National Clean Your Desk Day is the perfect time to really take a look at your office and decide what really needs to be there and what doesn't. And, you know, kind of hearkening back to that number 7, the number 7 is apparently also sort of a number of perfection because you're sort of got it all cleaned up and organized, and then you can put it into those 7 categories and have a neat, efficient space without having to add a whole lot of storage. You know, you can actually get rid of things and then your office is clean and efficient and easy to work in.
What about creativity and write space? Are people having built-in whiteboards or chalkboards in their space so that it incorporates and they aren't jotting things down on little pieces of paper, but they just have this little space that's built into their office, maybe built into a desk or built onto a wall where you can just scribble and write and erase? Is that trending or is that phase past?
Well, I think we went through a phase, Debbie, of having a whole lot of bulletin boards, and I think that it's a good idea to maybe have one space like that, just so, like you said, you have somewhere to jot something down if something comes to mind, like even if it's just something simple like a white notepad on your desk or one small bulletin board if you have a few ideas you want to keep for a certain period of time. But overall, I think it would be best to have clients not have too much of that, because then what we tend to do with spaces like whiteboards or even lots of drawer space is we just essentially fill them up and then we really never go back into them, and so it sort of becomes like a loop, and then you come back to this January 11th National Clean Your Desk Day and have to start over. So it might be best to just go through what you already have, give yourself some space for creativity, like you said, and to capture those, like we talked about David Allen's book, getting those projects out of your mind and onto a piece of paper or a whiteboard, but not so much so that you overwhelm yourself.
When it comes to office art, are you putting in more paintings, sculptures, small tasteful pieces, big sculptures? If I want to make my office up to date and a little trendy, what would you suggest?
Sure, I think that's a great question. I think that probably my simple answer to what's trending, which is similar to some of my answers to the other questions, is keep it simple. It doesn't have to be necessarily expensive or even super large, but I mean, you know, keep the scale in mind. And again, going back to what Marie Kondo said, keep it to something that you love. And that way, it's a joy to look at. And when you're sitting on the phone with a client and you turn around and you see that art behind you or in front of you, you're really inspired. And like we talked about earlier in the interview, it's a space of healing because art can be healing as you look at it in your office. It could even be something maybe that your child made or your niece or nephew or somebody in your life that you decided to frame, but just something that speaks to you, that you love, that sparks joy in your life.
So let's talk about the senses in that loving your space. Do you help people find a scent or fragrance that works well in their office that keeps them calm or makes them productive?
Oh, sure. That's a great question. One of the things we do for our clients, not only in offices, but offices are a great space. We usually bring a collection of different types of candles and even room freshener, air fresheners and soaps for their, if they have a powder room near their office. And then I really like the client to pick out what they love and what speaks to them. And that way, when they come in their office, they're inspired by the scent. And some scents that work well, I think, for this type of healing and also productivity, because obviously when you're office, you're also trying to be productive, might be lavender or peppermint. There is a collection of essential oils at nearly any home health store or even certain shops in the mall carry different things, and they can fill you in on what works best for those types of activities such as productivity or relaxation during a break.
Are plants helpful or are they distracting?
Plants are tricky because they're something that needs care. And even though they also bring oxygen into your air, I find with myself, I think a kitchen is a better place for a plant because it's somewhere they get a lot of natural moisture in the air anyway, whereas in an office, it's sort of just something else you need to take care of. And so if you know that you'll have the extra time or you're going to do that during your break, I think that's great. Otherwise, I think a plant maybe outside the window of your office might be a better place for it. And I mean, again, that's very personal. If you have a client who happens to be a horticulturalist or a botanist, then by all means, let's put some plants in the office and that's part of their work, or even just somebody who really loves nature and wants to bring that into their space. So I don't think there's any hard, fast rule for that, but overall, I think it's nice to have them outside of in other rooms around the house or outside.
And last, I'll ask you about open space, white space, clear space, just open space. How important is it to be able to look out from your desk and just see nothing?
I think it's extremely important. I think it's great that you saved this for the last question because when in thinking about this interview, I think one of the most important things is to walk into an office and feel as though you don't have so much in front of you to just go through and clear off that you can't think, because I think real creativity is really spawned by having a blank canvas. I mean, if you think about an artist, that's what they do. They look at a blank canvas and then they can create. Whereas if it has something on it already, it's more difficult and they have to sometimes paint over it with white. So I liken that to an office. Clear off your space and that's when the real magic happens.
You made some really good points. I appreciate your help on this issue. I think National Clean Your Desk Day is an important day to remember, not only from a physical perspective, from a virtual perspective as well. You have to clean out your email. You have to clean out your voicemail. You have to clean out your electronics, your photos, everything. And I think that the physical space is just the beginning. We've been listening to Christine Haught. She's an interior decorator located in Shaker Heights. How do we get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
We do. It's simply ChristineHaught.com. It's ChristineHaught. Haught.com. And all of our information is on the website. And we also have other social media as well. We have a Facebook page, Pinterest, House, Twitter. So feel free to find us on social media or give us a call or text or email. And I'd be happy to come over and help you get your office organized for the new year.
Awesome. Thank you for being on Minding Your Business.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for the opportunity to talk with your listeners about one of my favorite topics.